Today's reading comes from Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants and promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers, sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place in the of God in the Spirit. Bless the reading.
Thank you, Kathy. The cartoon characters, Lucy and Linus, have a chicken wishbone. We all have grown up doing that, pull on it, make a wish, get the largest size. They're going to pull it and make a wish, and as Lucy explains to Linus how the wishbone works, Linus asks, "Do I have to say my wish out loud for it to come true?" Lucy says, "Of course, if you don't say it out loud, it just won't come true." Then she makes her first wish. She says, "I wish for 4 new sweaters, a new bike, a new pair of skates, a new dress, and $100. Linus goes next. He says, "I wish for a long life for all of my friends. I wish for world peace. I wish for great advancements in medical science." And this, Lucy takes the wishbone, she throws it away, says, "Linus, that's the trouble with you. You're always spoiling everything." It does spoil things, doesn't it? When our self-centered, materialistic, divided world comes, one comes in the name of Jesus, who is able to forget his own needs and look to the needs of every one of us. Such a man has come, and he came with a divine mission. Did you know that turn of the century folks were calling this the Christian century? Now writers are calling this the post-Christian century. But they believe that at the final years of this millennium, people would learn to live in unity and harmony together. Regretfully, they were wrong. We've seen the millennium pass, and there was a multitude of people who still hate each other. Just watch the news, you see it every day. Killings and bombings and the hate that is out there. We do live, unfortunately, in a divided world. Nations are divided against one another. We see it in the Middle East, in Northern Ireland, as we see it across Africa. We see it all over the world. All over the world, nations are not only striving against one another, but they're also torn by strife within their own countries. It's a problem as old as humanity itself. I was interested to read somewhere about the origin of the custom of handshaking. In ancient times, men always carried daggers. And when they met a stranger, someone that they did not know or automatically recognized, they would automatically reach for their dagger with their right hand. Then they would kind of walk around each other. Then when they realized that they were not a threat, they would sheath their daggers. Then they would extend their right hands, the hand that would have held the knife. Now this may explain why men are more handshakers than women are in our societies. They didn't carry weapons like the men did. It appears to me that in today's world, we're still circling one another with our daggers drawn, still checking each other out. The nations of the world are divided, not ready to shake hands. They are divided, even if it's kind of a pretend thing. They still want to one-up the other, get something over on them. And unfortunately, communities are divided. America's melting pot has never quite realized its potential. We're not a solidary family, but an amalgamation of peoples and traditions and even languages, separating ourselves, even within the cities, our own areas. Will we ever transcend our various ethnic, cultural, and racial boundaries and truly become one people? I don't know. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but we can always hope so and work for it. And if it does happen, it'll be because men and women of faith have worked towards healing and trying to break down those walls which divide us. 1947, Joe Gordon was in a prime with the Cleveland Indians. That same year, a young black athlete named Larry Doby came to play for Cleveland. Doby was the first black rookie to join an American League team, and Doby was tense and he was nervous when he stepped up first time at bat, and he swung at three pitches and he missed them by about a foot. So he walked slowly back to the dugout, walked past all the other players, held his head down, put his head in his hands, and just sat like that, not wanting to see anyone. Well, Joe Gordon, a power hitter, was the next man up, and he knew this pitcher, and he was usually able to get hits off of him. Well, this time, however, when he swung, he missed the ball three straight times by almost 2 feet. He walked back to the dugout, walked back by all the players, walked up and sat down by Joe Doby, put his head down, put his head in his hands. From that moment on, although no one knew if he did it on purpose, Larry Doby would pick up his glove when they were getting ready to go out into the field and toss him his glove every single time. Doby went on to become one of the strongest hitters in Major League history. I don't know anything about Joe Gordon's religious commitment. I like to think that he did what he did because of a relationship with his Lord Jesus Christ. He had his heart touched. But what I do know is that America is still struggling. Hate is still in our land, not with everyone, but enough to hurt America. Still divided, struggling with ethnic, racial, cultural diversity. Communities are divided. Even churches, unfortunately, are divided. We still are fighting battles that should have been over long ago. Battles between literalists and liberals, evangelicals and social activists, traditionalists and moderns. Leadership Magazine cartoon a few months ago pictured a pastor with two obviously very exasperated and angry parishioners that they sat at a table in his office discussing an issue. The caption read like this: "With our current hard feelings," the pastor is saying, "would anyone object while I pray that I keep my eyes open?" Of course, families are divided. Once a young man had all kinds of promise to be a successful actor. But every time he was offered a great part, he would blow it. When the time came for him to sign a contract, he would become upset with the producer, his agent, and the way they handle the negotiations. Or he would blow up about some insignificant detail. Eventually, the whole opportunity would fizzle. It was obvious that he was sabotaging his own career. So a therapist was brought in to speak with him. And the therapist told him, "Imagine that you're in your hometown. There's a theater there in the marquee, and your name is high up in the lights." At that point, this young man jumped up out of his chair. His face was red with anger and hatred. He said, "No, no, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to see me as a success." The therapist realized at that point the reason he was sabotaging himself, because he had such hate towards his mother and towards his father. Something so terrible had happened somewhere in his growing up that he wanted to fail in order to punish them. Nations are divided, communities are divided, churches are divided, families are even divided. Into such a world came our Lord Jesus Christ. And why did he come? Paul tells us from the lesson for the day. He came to tear down walls. St. Paul wrote, "For he is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down the walls of hostility that are dividing us." And I ask you, is there a dividing wall of hostility in your life? How about in your family? How about in your community with your neighbors? How about the dividing wall just within your heart? You know, Jesus saw the walls of his day and he wanted to tear them down. Walls between Jews and Samaritans. Walls between the super righteous and the sinners. Walls between fallen humanity and his Father. And Jesus gave his life to tear down that wall. There comes a time when someone must take a walk of compassion. Someone must scale that wall of hostility. Someone must go out on a limb of love, and we all need to do it, and Jesus has already done it for us. There's no more graphic illustration of that truth than when the event occurred the moment that Jesus died upon the cross. What does St. Luke tell us happened when Christ breathed his last breath? We usually talk about this on Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday. It says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sunlight fell and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." It's very significant because for the Jews, God lived in the Holy of Holies behind this curtain, and the high priest could only go in once a year to offer for the sins of the people. But when Christ died, it tore that wall, literally tore in two. And that opened up for Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us, to live within us. All the old commandments are really gone, and the commandment of love takes precedence over everything else. That curtain that separated the believer from the Holy of Holies, torn in two. The final wall separating humanity from the Heavenly Father was abolished. And that is what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. That is what our faith is all about. Jesus tears down walls, especially the walls we build around our own hearts. Justin's sweetheart put it like this. Some people are like medieval castles. The high walls keep them safe from being hurt. They protect themselves emotionally by permitting no real exchange of feelings or love towards anyone. No one can enter. They are secure from attack. However, inspection of the occupant finds him or her lonely, rallying around in his or her own castle by themselves, alone. The castle dweller is a self-made prisoner. He or she needs to be loved by someone. We all do. But the walls are so high and so thick that it's difficult to reach anyone who has put themselves in that position. Perhaps you yourself know this morning what it is like to live behind such walls. The good news that Christ has come to destroy all the walls that separate us from one another and from God, no matter what those walls might be. So I say this morning, the scriptures say, God says, Jesus says to you, open up your hearts. Take a chance, even of being hurt. It's hard. I know it's hard. Let love in. And if you've not already, let Christ in. Let Christ in this morning. Fully, totally, 100%. Not just a little piece, but all the way. Let the walls that divide you from Christ, let the walls that divide you from other persons, Let those walls be torn down. Let them come tumbling down, never to be rebuilt again. May God bless you. Amen.